Oh yeah, we're back for another episode of the On This Grind podcast, and this episode is entitled No Traffic, the importance of finding your own lane and creating a niche. So let's get into it. I'm on this grind, gotta get my seat, I'm on this grind, yeah, I'm on this grind, working overtime and I'm on this grind, come on, yeah, I stay on this grind. I want to start this one off with a quote from my boy, Charles Dickens. Back in the day, he said, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Now, he was talking about A Tale of Two Cities, but I think it could also be applied to the current state of the music business. And let's talk about each of those. So I think it is the best of times to be an artist now, because it's never been easier. Back in the day, you had to go to a studio and spend money to record. You'd have to spend $20,000 to make a music video. You'd have to get signed to sell your music. Whereas nowadays, you can make your music on your computer. Most people have that. You can make a video on your iPhone and put it up on YouTube. And you can sign up to a service like TuneCore or CD Baby. And within hours or days, your music is online and you can sell it. So it's never been easier to be an artist, but it's also the worst at times because it's so easy that there's so many artists out there nowadays that it's difficult to stick out, and there's so much noise so that even if you are good, it's difficult to cut through all that noise because people have a difficult time just trying to find out the good from the bad. I mean, I see it on my Facebook feed all the time, people posting their music, and I get overwhelmed of trying to find something that's good. Back in the day, to kind of accelerate your career, you would try to open for an artist that came into town, and that would be a great way to expose yourself in front of an audience. But nowadays, it's really based on pay to play. So the artists that get a chance to open aren't necessarily the talented ones or the ones kind of making noise in the scene, but it's based on how many tickets you can sell. It's not based on merit. And a lot of people will tend to complain about this and kind of think about, you know, back in the days it was so good because it was based on your skill level and that's what promoters should do. And a lot of times we can romanticize the past, but it's not like back in the day it was easy as well. I remember in the 1990s or early 2000s, one of the biggest selling rappers out wasn't the lyrical Razz Kazz, but on the other hand, it was Master P, No Limit. And I don't think it was so much his talent because his rapping skills weren't up to par, but he had that hustle. So I give it up to those people who can go hustle those CDs and hustle those tickets to the shows. And that's what I talked about in the first episode, how you have to have a hustle. So I think that is really important then, and it's really important now to have a niche and to find your own lane. And that's what we're going to get into in this one. First time I recognized this was beginning my career. I'm going into a rap battle. I'm in Detroit, the D. Really excited to go in this battle. It's the year 2000. Source Magazine is the top magazine at that time, and they had this thing called the Unsigned Hype Tour Challenge, and I'd seen other rappers go in it. Proof, rest in peace to Proof, I believe won the competition in the past, and I thought maybe he's going to be there that day. So I'm in Detroit. There's 100 rappers that are in this competition. I got one of those slots, had 30 seconds to rap, and I came in with my rap, did my 30 seconds, and felt pretty good about it. They selected 16 rappers to move on. Don't worry, I was one of those 16. So I'm in the next round, and I was in a rap battle. So I win this battle, and I'm moving on in this. And one of my opponents is a female MC. And I'm in the battle and do my thing, and I walk off stage thinking, hey, I won the battle. It's all good. Let's move on. But then they're like, it's a tie. We want you to do another round. I come back, do another round. Another tie. We do a third round. Again, I'm walking off stage thinking, yeah, I'm moving on. When they say, she won. I lost the battle to a girl. Oh, man, what could I do? Now, I felt all right about it because I felt like I did my best. And, you know, I'd gone on to this final rounds and I was in the semifinals. And when I came off stage, I got a lot of love from people in the crowd. They were like, man, I thought you had it, man. You got some skills, man. So I felt pretty good because especially being a Canadian MC, it always feels good to get love from when you're in the States, and especially a place like Detroit where it's hip hop. It's the realness. So I'm sitting back now in the audience and I'm watching it continue. And she did not win the entire thing, the woman who beat me in the battle. But another guy did. And here's the thing about battles. When I was in the battle, I didn't really come at her. I was just showcasing my skills more than anything. And in a battle, you're really supposed to go at the other person. You're supposed to attack their weakness. Now, I don't know anything about this woman. Nowadays, you study up on opponents and write out your rhymes, but this was freestyle, so you've got to look at appearance. Now, I got to say, this woman, you know, she wasn't wearing makeup, which is fine. I got no problem with that. And her clothes weren't the greatest. It kind of looked like some secondhand gear, maybe from Value Village. Again, I have no problem with that. But those are things that a battle rapper could really attack. I could have attacked her appearance. I didn't do that. The guy who beat her, he did. He came at her real hard. There was no question. I mean, she did a good job too, but there was no question. He just let her have it. And he ended up winning. So after this battle goes down, I'm standing out there with my boys, and one of the judges comes up to me. Her name is Sunny. I'd never met her in person. I'd only heard her voice because she was big on the radio, JLB 98. Where hip hop lives, the big radio station in Detroit. Listen to it all the time. And so she came up and she said, you know, Dio, I thought you did a great job up there. And I really liked your style because you didn't really come at her in a mean way like he did. I didn't like what he had to say about that. You know, your mother must have raised you right. So I appreciated her saying that. But then she also said, we're having an official after party tonight. It's like a VIP party. So I'm like, can I bring my people? Because like 8 people came down with me. And she's like, yeah, no problem. I'll put them all on the list. So I was like, okay, I'm going to this party. So we go out to this after party. And like I said, I might have lost the battle, but we still feel like celebrated. We feel good about it. And we're in this place. And I'm looking around that whole night. And I don't see that female rapper who beat me in that battle. And I don't see that guy who had won it all. And that's when I learned a valuable lesson, because they hadn't done something to stick out. And in his case, maybe he did stick out, but it was by being so mean to her. But they weren't at that party. They weren't invited. And now I had not only just made that connection with DJ Sunny, but she would say, hey, Dio, there's the Wu-Tang Clan coming in town. They're playing, I believe it's the State Theater downtown or Fox, one of those really classic venues. And she said, you know, why don't you bring one of your boys down? And I came down and went to that and connected with her later in Toronto as well. And she's gone on to do some amazing things. I never realized it at the time because I thought she was a DJ, but she did move on to Hot 97 in New York. So that was a good sign. But then she got into cooking and now she's known as Chef Sunny Anderson all over the place. But what I learned from that experience is that sometimes you can find out who you are by finding out who you aren't. I had to realize I'm not a battle rapper. That's not what I'm good at. I'm not good at putting people down. I mean, look at me now. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm trying to build people up. Sometimes I go out to a school show and the kid's like, I want to battle you. But it's funny because it's the kids who want to battle that usually are the ones that like aren't very good at all. Like they barely can say a line that will make any sense. But it's the shy kid who they're like, come on, just do a rap. And then they rap and they're like the one that's good. It's never the battler who comes up. I don't think I've ever seen a kid come up and battle me that's been like decent at all. What am I supposed to do? Blow them away? You know, I'd never be invited back. But what I'm getting at is that you find out who you are by finding out who you aren't, that it's not about being a jack of all trades. Back then, I thought, you know, hip hop is from battling culture. And that's what people say all the time is hip hop started from battling. Yeah, it did. But it also started from having simple party rocking rhymes. I mean, that's how hip hop started. You'd have a party and people would say simple rhymes that people could sing along to. So hip hop comes from a variety of ways. And even from early on, rappers realized they had to find their niche, that not everybody was going to be a battle MC. Not everybody knew how to rock a party. So it's important to find that out. And from finding that out, that kind of pushed me in a different area, because instead of just working on mean raps to say and practicing with my boys of attacking rappers, I just started freestyling for long periods of time, which led me to setting a Guinness World Record. And the cool thing about doing that is it kind of separated me from just that whole battle scene. And I've been able to say that now for 13 years since I've done it, that even though another rapper has taken the Guinness World Record, it doesn't really matter to me. So I kind of feel like I'm the first one to do it. And it's only a handful of people who've been able to freestyle for 8 hours or have at least documented it. But the cool thing about doing that world record is that freestyling and battling were at its peak at the time. Eminem had just come out with his movie 8 Mile, and now all of a sudden, everybody wanted to be a battle rapper. You'd see all these battles popping up all over the place. The problem with being a battle rapper, though, and I found this back in the day, is that there's always another battle to face. If you win this one battle in Toronto, there's another battle in Toronto. And just because you won that one, people aren't giving you respect from it, because it's always attacking and pulling you down. It's kind of like that crabs in the bucket, I kind of felt like at the time. And so people always want to attack you. There's always another battle to win. And that's what I didn't like about it. But what I did like about that movie, 8 Mile, and about Freestyle Fridays, is that it also taught another important lesson that is key to being a battle rapper and really applies to being yourself as an artist as well. And that's just that when you can harness that power of knowing who you are, of knowing yourself, that's when you start to become unstoppable. And what I mean by that is that when Eminem was going in these battles back in the day, people would come at him by saying, "Hey, you're white. You, what are you rapping for? You're poor. You're trailer trash." And so they would come at him and the crowd would go, "Oh." But then Eminem had heard that his whole life, so he knew how to respond to it. For him, he used what could be perceived as a weakness as his strength. And when he flipped it back on them, that's when he, you know, annihilated his competition. Same thing with Jin. He's on Freestyle Fridays and they'd say, "You're Asian, you can't rap, you eat rice." Like, just ridiculous things. Like, when you get down to these stereotypes, your parents own a convenience store. And he would know that they were going to say that and flip it back at them, make everybody laugh, win the crowd over. And the essence is, sometimes you embrace those perceived weaknesses, but still say, "Yeah, so what? I'm still better than you." And that's what catapulted them to success. So I think that when you know yourself, when you know yourself as an artist, you're knowing your brand and you start establishing your niche. And that's when you can really stick out amongst your competition. You realize nobody can come at you because you know yourself, you know your weaknesses, and you've turned those into strengths. One problem, though, as a freestyle rapper, as a battle rapper, people always say, "You can't make songs." That used to be the big knock, that a lot of battle rappers, freestylers, couldn't translate those skills into making a song, which is what you need to do to kind of take that next step as an artist. Now, I get where that comes from, because if you are a battle rapper, you're just really focused on annihilating your competition. You're not thinking about song structure so much. I think for a freestyler, it can be different, because when I freestyle, I ask the crowd for topics. So if you ask me about basketball, I do a rap about basketball, which can kind of translate into songs because you want to stick to a theme. So I can make a basketball song, something like that. But still, challenge for me. So I set the Guinness World Record. Now I want to get on the radio. And in Toronto, we have a station called Flow. And it just came out a couple years before that, in 2001. And they were starting to play a lot of local or Canadian music. something we have called CanCon. They have to play a certain percentage, so that helped. But people also called it a flow song that you wanted to create to get on the radio. It seemed like those were the songs that would get played because they all seemed to sound kind of with a similar format. At this time, one of the most popular rappers across all international formats and getting his videos played on BET all the time on 106 in Park was Ja Rule. Ja Rule is a good example of what I would say is a flow song. An R&B flavored beat. You could just as much hear a singer sing over the whole song as you would a rapper. And usually there would be a singer, usually a female chorus. And usually the rapping would be about girls. The song would be about something with women. And so that's kind of the essence of a flow song. I submitted a song that was kind of a flow song. It had an R&B beat, had a female on the chorus. The song was about girls. And never got played. Didn't become that flow hit. But I also submitted another song a while after that. And this song, we didn't really think of that much as far as being like a big flow song. We just wanted to put it out there because I'm working on the album. It's going to have a few singles. So I'm like, the album's not coming out for like 6 months, but let's put a little kind of buzz single out there. So I put that song out called Young Brother. And then I was shocked when I heard people calling me up saying, D, your song's on the radio. Yo, I heard your song on the radio. And I'd get a lot of these phone calls because it went straight into heavy rotation on the radio. And eventually it became one of the top songs of the year on Flow when they did their countdown of the top 93 songs on Flow, 93.5. Now, Young Brother was not a quote-unquote Flow song. It was hip-hop. And it had a singing chorus, but it was a male singing chorus. And I wasn't rapping about girls. I was rapping about boys. I was rapping about young men and giving tips to the young brothers out there. So it didn't fit those bills of the didn't fit the bill of being a flow song, but it became a popular flow song. And I realized that I'd stuck out from that group of artists that were developing or delivering those similar songs by having my own niche. Now, that song was a conscious song, but I think that people make the mistake sometimes. When you have a niche, they think that it's just an unconscious decision. They just think, hey, that's just who you are, so that's who you became. That's why you follow along with it. And I don't think it's as simple as that. I think it has to be a conscious decision a lot of the times. And I'll explain it by giving a few sports analogies, because watching basketball, I remember I'd see a three-point shooter, and that's all they did was just take three-point shots, whether it was like somebody like Dale Curry before his boy was blowing up, Steph. And I thought, hey, he's good at three-point shooting. Probably just doesn't want to take it in the key. Can't dunk or do layups or get banged around, so just shoots threes. I'd see a defensive specialist. My man Bruce Bowen played in the league for a long time and just seemed to play defense and be really chippy and kind of get on guys. And another example of kind of being chippy comes from hockey, because I remember talking to this enforcer in hockey, and I just thought of him as a tough guy. That's what he was known for. My boy Troy Crowder, he fought Bob Probert back in the day. And I never thought of him as a goal scorer, but he's like, when I'm talking to him, he's like, yeah, growing up, man, I was always a goal scorer. As a kid, as a teenager, that's who I was. That's what I did. At some point, he realized that his enforcing skills, his fighting skills, could be his ticket to longevity. That's what the team needed. So that's what he started to do. And that's what Bruce Bowen realizes, that his defensive play is what was going to keep him in the NBA. Everybody can score in the NBA. In hockey, everybody can shoot and skate. That an enforcer might look like they just use their fists, but they know how to light it up as well. And in rap, everybody can rap. When I started out, I remember just freestyling a couple lines. People were like, oh man, you know how to do that. Well, nowadays, like a lot of rappers can freestyle. A lot of kids at schools can freestyle. They can string along a few words together. So I think it's really important to be able to stick out. And I'm fortunate that I had my friends remind me of this. Also, when I started out back in 2000, 2001, I had a friend, my man K Rizzy, who was like, he always said this line to me, D, do you want to have 15 minutes or 15 years? And so 15 years later, I'll take that 15 years versus just having that 15 minutes. But that kind of falls into what I'll be talking about in one of these episodes coming up. The one hit wonders, that there's a lot of artists who do have 15 minutes. They're popular for a short time. And it's not just a rapper that's popular for a short time, but a lot of times in hip hop and in music in general, or being a teenager, you see this is trends. You see somebody at your school wearing certain type of shirt this way, certain brand, or in music, you see people emulate a certain style. So a few years ago, it was auto-tune. T-Pain comes out with auto-tune. Everybody's doing auto-tune, auto-tune, until Jay-Z comes out with a song called Death of Auto-Tune. And now, if you were releasing an auto-tune song after that, chances are it probably didn't do as well. Nowadays, you got Drake. So everybody wants to sound like Drake, especially in Toronto, where he's from. So I think that once you find that niche, you're going to have other people who want to duplicate that because they think that that's how you're going to achieve success. But the problem with doing that is that when you duplicate that sound and then you release it, you probably can't release it right away, or it's difficult sometimes too for it to hit everybody. So when it finally connects, now it's going to sound dated. So it's, if you're chasing trends, you're usually always a step behind. And I find that this is something that a lot of newer artists do and a lot of amateur artists do, is they don't realize that sometimes they're unconsciously sounding like other artists. And that's why I talked about it in that first episode, about how you have to be humble and how you have to be objective and real with yourself. And sometimes that's the difference between an amateur and a professional. And as somebody who sat on these juries and given artist consultation and worked with them, I recognize it a few ways. And I want to talk about two of those ways as one of the last things about this podcast. The first way is the bio. I could tell an amateur from a professional within 5 seconds of reading their bio. An amateur's bio will often sound something like, this artist is out to change the musical landscape. No one's ever heard somebody as good as this. So it's usually these generic terms. It's these big words. I mean, I don't know what a musical landscape is, but I've read that in a few bios. Now, another thing is the generic story, where it's life was hard for this artist. He was raised in a rough place. Rap was his only way out. Not trying to undermine or make light of people who come up from that rough upbringing. I get it. And that's where a lot of hip hop has come from. And rap is a great outlet for expressing it. The problem is, this story has been told a million times, millions of times. And it's been done with excellence. You know, you have gangster rappers who have gone into these subjects, or you have Jay-Z who's talked about coming from the streets and making it as a rapper. So for you to say that's what you want to do, you're going to have to do that incredibly well. Or you want to put a twist on it. You want to show how you are different. Something about your individuality is different. And that's, to me, what will separate you. And when you see that in a bio, even if you're an amateur, you haven't developed it, you are really presenting yourself as a professional right there. Second way that is done is about if you have a show and you're trying to hustle your show to somebody who might not know who you are. And I talked about hustling my CDs and freestyling, but Derek Sivers has something that I read from him back in the day. I must have read this like 12, 13 years ago. And I really think it speaks directly to finding your niche. If you're not familiar with Derek Sivers, he started CD Baby, where you can sell your CDs. He sold his company for something like $30 million. But he calls it a magic phrase. So when somebody says, or when you go up to somebody, if you're an artist, saying, hey, man, I got a show on Friday, you should come. Now, you think that your music's great and that person should just want to come. So you tell them, we sound like no one. we sound that great. And you say it with such confidence, because I've said it myself. But you say it with such confidence that you feel great. But you're not thinking about the other person, because the other person is like, hey, man, that's great that you sound like no one, but I don't know what that means. And for me to get down to your show, okay, I got to pay for parking. I'm probably going to have to pay a ticket. I don't expect you to put me on the list. I'm probably going to get a couple drinks there. I might be bringing a date there, or I got to convince my friends to come with me. So there's a lot of other things going on in that other person's mind, not to mention the fact that just spending one night of their time, which is valuable, and you haven't done a good job communicating it if you just say, hey, man, I sound like no one. I'm really good. So what Derek Siver says, and what I suggest to artists, is this, is to say that you sound like a combination of two artists, not the exact same artist, but kind of different artists. So, you know what, man, I sound like artist X mixed with a little bit of artist Y. And you want to obviously tailor it to somebody who go, well, if you don't necessarily have to tailor it to an individual person, but you want to have artists that are a little bit different, but kind of complement each other. And so for me, when I'm talking about my group, Art of Fresh is a little bit different kind of hip hop. It's not just straight boom bap hip hop. We call it Butterfat boom bap. But we also have elements of house in there, some dance music. So when I started applying this to my music, what I would say is, yeah, Art of Fresh, we sound a little like Outkast meets Black Eyed Peas. And as soon as I did that, I noticed the different kind of response I got, as opposed to just saying, yeah, we sound different, nobody's heard something like this. So for those two examples, a lot of people like the group Outkast, even if you're not a fan of hip hop. And that's what we wanted to appeal to as well, that, hey, it's okay if you don't like hip hop, because we're a little bit different. So Outkast is experimental, and that's what we try to do. But they were also commercial, and they also had unique and distinct personalities between the two members. So do we. Now, when we threw in Black Eyed Peas, some people are like, oh, man, I don't like Black Eyed Peas. I mean, I liked them when they started. I don't like them anymore. They sold out. So sometimes you get that. But then also that regular pop music radio playing person, sometimes they're like, oh, I love Black Eyed Peas. So you get that. But we also wanted to make sure that we let people know that, yeah, we do have a commercial sound. We do have hooks that are going to stick out. We're not just doing underground hip hop. So it was important for us to get that across too. So I definitely encourage artists to kind of put those two things together and apply that in business too, as far as the product goes. And now for the wrap up. When I was starting out, I wanted to be the best rapper in the world. And whenever you start out with something, you want to be the best. You want to be the brand leader. But I think it's better to define it, because there's millions of people out there trying to be the next Jay-Z, the next Kanye West, or the next Drake. And if you're trying to compete there, it's going to be really busy. And there's going to be a lot of traffic on the road. So it's best to try to do you, to find out what is best about your personality so you can stick out and you can be the leader in your own category. Because when you do that, you get out of that lane that's all congested, out of that road rage of the frustration of people blaming each other and pulling each other back down. And you get in that far left lane, and you're going to realize there's no traffic. Not to get into me, because I'm going to get right where I need to be when I stay on this grind. Yeah, a little singing in this one. I wasn't gonna let anything get in my way, so I never listen to what they say. And that is no traffic, nothing getting to me. I'm gonna get right where I need to be. And in the rear view I see the complaint, but I'm laughing cause I'm in the fast lane. And that is no traffic, that that is no traffic. That is no traffic. That is no traffic. Yeah. Yo, you can find me swerving in that far left lane with the top down, screaming out money ain't a thing. And I ain't talking about having money to blow, but I remember waiting for the bus out in the cold. So I ain't gonna pull my feet up yet. I'd rather spin the globe. Where should we go next? Sometimes I went off track, but never see me sweat. Cause my intuition is my GPS. There's only one me. I'm not being arrogant. Cause when you do you, there's no comparisons. It's about where you're going, not where you've been. And like I said before, I'm not American. I'm from a town up north, you probably never heard of. And now I'm all around the globe doing shows in Europe. The truth, I don't mind the commute, cause I found my own lane. Let me explain. I wasn't gonna let anything get in my way, so I never listen to what they say. And that is no traffic, nothing get into me. I'm gonna get right where I need to be. And in the rear view, I see the complaint, but I'm laughing cause I'm in the fast lane. And that is no traffic, that is no traffic, that is no traffic, that is no traffic. You can see them rubbernecking from a mile away. I never understood it, but who am I to say? I seen pileups and crashes where they never recover, turn into a write off. Seem every day there's another. Some want it so bad, they say they die for it. Dreams are great till they hold you back from trying to live. And it's hard with these Simon cows, but unless we talking Steelers, you'll never see me throwing the towel. They call me Mr. International, I call it just doing what I have to do. See, at first I was just geek to speak to beats, but to increase your reach, you gotta seek your niche. Never got that Juno, never even nominated, but all I care is that I can say, Mom, I made it. With my karma intact and well compensated, thinking beyond the matrix, cause I wasn't gonna let anything get in my way, so I never listen to what they say. And that is no traffic, nothing get into me. I'm gonna get right where I need to be. And in the rear view, I see the complaint, but I'm laughing cause I'm in the fast lane. And that is no traffic, that is no traffic, that is no traffic, that is no traffic.